As we turn to Scripture, let us first go to the letter of Paul to the church at Rome, Romans 8, 12 through 25. If you'd like to follow along, you can find this passage on page 147 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Hear these words. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The second scripture lesson, there's a pattern here. We've been reading from Romans and Matthew all summer. We continue from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. You'll find this on the top of page 14 in the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed on his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them together in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And Jesus answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Quite clearly, this parable, this story this week, is yet another of Jesus' agricultural parables. And knowing you, knowing some of you and your background as I do, it seems like these are the kind of stories that resonate with us. Well, this is one of those times, as so many times, when Jesus tells a story and his followers stand there scratching their heads trying to figure out what he meant. So once again, Jesus has to go back to the house, set the disciples down and explain to them what he meant. Now, my guess is that most of us have a fairly obvious understanding, because likely you've heard this parable several times before. Well, I want to offer a story to you from my past, a story that I shared with the kids this morning, because I think it has an interesting illustration. Well, when I was a kid in grade school, one day our class was all prepped because we were going to have a test. Now, I had studied for this test. I was ready to go. I thought I knew the answer, so I was pretty excited when test day came along. The teacher handed out the test papers, and we were all working very diligently on our exams. Well, I filled in all the answers, and then I proudly took my completed paper, and I walked it up to the teacher. I laid it on her desk, and she smiled broadly, and I turned to go back to my seat, and somewhere in the back, movement caught my eye. And so as I walked back to my desk, I kept looking, and there in the very back was a kid at the desk, and every once in a while he would look at his hand, and he would write down an answer, and then he'd look up to check that the teacher wasn't looking, and then he'd again look at his crib sheet, he'd write the answer, and then again check to see that the teacher hadn't caught him. Well, I didn't say anything, but I was fairly burned at that. A few days later, the teacher handed back the graded papers, and she popped the paper down on my desk, and I was very proud to see 100% that I had answered all the questions correctly. And then she handed out the rest of the papers, and she called me forward, and she called another kid up who had scored 100%, and wouldn't you know it, it was that guy with the crib sheet in the very back. Well, again, I didn't say anything. But that night when I went home, I was pretty upset, and I talked to my mom about that. And she said, "Tiger, you know, what happened to you happens sometimes in this life. There's really not much we can do about it. That's the way it goes. But the teacher has to take care of that. You don't have any place in this. It's the teacher's job to make things right." Well, I wasn't satisfied with that explanation, but the rest of my life has borne out that fairly painful lesson. Obviously, in this parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus was talking about good people who go through life and bad people who go through life. We recognize that God offers blessings on everybody. God's grace is available to everybody. But we also recognize somewhere deep in our heart that, yes, in fact, things will be called to justice in the end. But we recognize that we should have no place in judging between the wheat and the weeds, because that's God's job. But we recognize fully, and Jesus says very clearly, there will be a day of reckoning. There will be that judgment day. Well, as you think about this story, it sometimes frustrates me that Jesus comes away with such an obvious answer. He had the easy explanation for the disciples. Now, I recognize this is Jesus' parable, and Jesus is Jesus, so he is fully entitled to have it mean what Jesus wants it to mean. But I wonder if he hadn't made it quite so cut and dried. Because as I was looking into this parable, I found that there are some interesting connections here. Some of you from other translations of the Bible would recognize this story as the story of the wheat and the tares. You recognize that word, the tares? Well, it turns out that the tare was indeed a weed, and it's a specific kind of weed. It is the bearded darnel, whose Latin name is Lolium temulentum. It's a species of ryegrass, the seeds of which are a strong soporific poison. That means it causes sleep. It bears the closest resemblance to wheat until the ear appears, and only then the difference is discovered. It grows plentifully in Syria and Palestine. That from the Easton's Bible Dictionary. So it's kind of an interesting thing that that plant, the specific tare that they were talking about, is so much like wheat that you really can't tell the difference until the heads come on. The wheat seed grows, and only then could you be able to separate it. What also reminds me of the definition of a weed, if you look at the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says that a weed is a plant that is not valued where it's growing. And it usually is of vigorous growth. That's the definition of a weed. My mom used to say that a weed is simply a plant that's growing where you don't want it to grow. Same thing. I remember when I first moved to Colorado, a young park ranger, and I was part of the church, and I was so excited because I was seeing things I hadn't seen before. And I looked at vacant lots, and I looked at land that was fallow, and I was seeing this gorgeous little white flower, little trumpet-shaped white flower. And I was so excited, I went to the United Methodist Men's Breakfast, and I said, "Gentlemen, this is great. What is this little white flower?" And this one old grizzled rancher looked at me, and he said, "Puh, that's not a flower. That's bindweed." So if you know the West at all, you know that bindweed is a noxious flower, a noxious weed that grows everywhere and is pretty difficult to get rid of. But in my eyes, it was a beautiful flower and not a weed. Well, I kind of wish that Jesus hadn't made it so clear, because I would offer an alternate understanding of this parable of the wheat and the weeds. I wonder if the lines weren't quite so clear. I wonder if Jesus was not talking about good people and bad people. I wonder if Jesus was not talking about the devil who selected out the folks who were bad to the core. What if Jesus actually also meant anybody who is trying to follow Jesus Christ? And what if instead of the world symbolizing that wheat field, Jesus had the wheat field represent the church, the entire church of Jesus Christ? Because I wonder, in that kind of a parable, how many times we are so quick to decide among the wheat and the weeds. I wonder if in your hearing of that story, how many of you identified yourself with the weeds? Anybody weeds to join me in the weed patch? Few of us. Well, I don't think most of us do. I think it's human nature to say, "Oh yeah, I'm one of those wheat plants, and you're not going to pull me out with the weeds because I'm a wheat." We are children of God, right? We certainly are the wheat plants. We're not counted among the weed. Well, I wonder, how many times in our churches do we consider that folks who are different from us, people who speak another language, people who have skin color of a different hue, people who come from a different culture, how many times have we been so quick to say, "Yep, those are the weeds and they don't belong here"? How do we measure wheat versus weed when we're looking at gay persons, at lesbian persons, at transgender persons? Wheat or weeds? How do we feel about folks who don't believe the same things we do in the United Methodist Church, about Baptists, about Presbyterians, about Lutherans? Wheat or weeds? How do we feel about people who don't even believe in Jesus Christ at all? Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists? Wheat or weeds? Are we quick to decide who belongs where? What do you think Jesus thinks about that? I think we have a clue. As Paul says in Romans, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. I think Paul hits it right on the head of the nail. How many times have we decided that we are the wheat and they are the weeds? Because in God's field, that same sunlight of grace and love shines on all people. We are blessed with the same blessings from God. And I wonder if as those plants germinate and start sprouting, if maybe, just maybe, some of that wheatiness might rub off on the weediness of other people. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You know, in God's world, there is love and life for both the wheat and the weeds. Thanks be to God. Amen.